Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Buenas tardes, Nuevo México. Estás escuchando tu programa de Espejos de Aztlán. You are listening to your Espejos de Aztlán show. My name is Rafael Martinez, and behind the tech stuff, we have Froilán Orozco tonight. And we're joined and honored to have five guests live in the studio tonight. We have David Valencia, a junior at Highland High School. We have Luis Vasquez, an alumni at Highland High School and a current CNM student. We have Gabriela Ortega, an Albuquerque High alumni, as well as a current UNM student. We have Veronica Medina, who's an Albuquerque High teacher. And we also have Corky Fausto, who's a Highland High teacher and a Chicana and Chicano Studies graduate student. Bienvenidos.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey. Hello.
How are y'all feeling tonight?
Good.
Good. Doing
great.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Un poquito frellito, ¿no? So let's go ahead and start just having a brief introduction. I did a little brief introduction, but maybe we'll start with our maestros, our teachers. Tell us a little bit about how this whole program kind of came to be and how you became involved. We'll start with Veronica.
Good evening. My name is Veronica Medina. I'm a Chicano Studies teacher at Albuquerque High. We've been doing Chicano Studies there. This is going on our 51st year, I believe, started by John Lopez. And it's been a fantastic journey. He always wanted to do a dual credit here with the university. And so I'm so happy that we were able to make this happen, what, Corky, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now?
4 years ago. This is our fourth year.
Fourth year going strong. And we're just so happy to be part of the dual credit program with Dr. Irene Vasquez and the rest of the wonderful people that work there.
Claro que sí. Gracias, Veronica. Corky, ¿nos puedes decir un poquito más? Can you tell us a little bit more también?
Sure. At Highland High School, we started Mexican-American Studies about 6 years ago, and it started as an intervention for students that were struggling, and now it's still an intervention, but it also has a dual credit component, and so it's been a good journey. It's been a lot of fun to do. I think the kids have enjoyed it.
Gracias, Corky. I'm going to turn it over to David. David, do you want to tell us, you're currently a part of the program as a junior, the college preparation program, dual enrollment with Chicano and Chicano Studies and Mexican American Studies. Can you tell us a little bit what your experience has been as a current student?
So my experience has really been kind of changed my life because it made me see like who I am as a person, like truly. Just made everything better. And I learned a lot, like, about my culture about that.
That's always super important. Thank you for sharing those words, David, talking to us about our cultura and our identity, if you will. And we have two alumni who've gone through the program as well. Luis, do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience and how that program has shaped you, kind of your outlook and your life so far going into college at CNM?
Yeah, of course. So I got the class freshman year, and I always remember it because it was a funny story. So I entered high school. I didn't know what to expect, and I got a small engines class, but the class was full. And so this teacher, or one of the counselors, was like, I put you in this class. You might like it. And I got kind of mad because I wanted small engines. But a week into the class, I was like, wow. I was like, man. Because, like, when you're in school, you get to learn about how the Europeans colonized and how the African Americans went through all their hardships. You don't really get to learn about, like, hey, what happened to my people? What's up? What's up with that? And you get to learn, like, what went down, and you have something to be proud to learn about. You know, you can go to school and be like, hey, I'm ready to learn today, man, you know? And yeah, that's really important for me.
Preach, hermano. That's powerful words coming out, and thanks for sharing a little bit of that story. We're going to definitely continue or expand on that. And like similarly, Gabriela, can you tell us your experience? Any stories maybe that you remember as well, going back to those memories, and then how that has shaped you into the current UNM student that you are as well?
Of course. So the Chicano-Chicana Studies program at Albuquerque High School served as a safe haven to me as a young Chicana, navigating my way through our public school system. As you mentioned, only Eurocentric versions of history are taught, and that is actually a tool that white supremacy utilizes to suppress people of color, and that became evident after going through the program. And truly, this class, implementing it institutionally, is vital because it's an introduction to students in exploring the consequences of colonization, genocide, racism, and U.S. imperialism that are still felt throughout our communities.
Claro que sí. You know, you guys are speaking, I can't even speak today, speaking truth to power, which is important. I think it's one of the values of this program. Froy, you were going to tell us about some of the other current schools and teachers that exist within the program?
Yeah. So good evening, everybody. Yeah, for right now, currently, the college progression program is being offered at a few schools. Albuquerque High School is one of them. Highland High School is another one. Atrisco Heritage Academy is another one. RFK Charter School is another one. CEC is another one. And we also have, did I mention Mark Carmico already? That one's also offering the dual enrollment college preparation program at their school. And we also have been going on for a few years. I don't know if one of the instructors, Corky or Veronica, would mind sharing a little of that history of how kind of all this came together.
Well, I was at a protest march or a group with my Mecha group from Highland, and I ran into a teacher that was working at Atrisco Heritage, and she mentioned that her kids in her Mexican-American studies class were going to be earning a dual credit. And I thought, well, my kids can do that. And so she got me in touch with Irene Vasquez from the department chair. She met with her principal at Highland, and they made it happen. And since then, we don't have a clean, everybody in the class is earning dual credit, but every year we have a good handful of students that earn dual credit from Highland. And around that time, Veronica, you came in.
Yes. We had a ethnic studies, like a conference at Albuquerque High. They hosted it there, but I was able to meet people from La Placita Institute, also people from Families United for Education, a young man by the name of Travis McKenzie, who does incredible things at Van Buren. I just had to say his name, especially just because he does this whole food-to-table, farm-to-table with his kids. It shows not only our culture, but truly our beginnings as humans, you know, from the ground up, putting food on our table and how to prepare it and everything. He's incredible. But through that, we were able all to meet and take this ethnic studies conversation even, you know, to the APS level to say this is something that is needed. This is something that is wanted by all kids, especially in our area, because New Mexico is such a gem. And it being cut so many different ways, we can only shine. The more we cut it, the more we shine. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
Claro que sí. And you kind of hinted at my next question, which is thinking about what does this mean for Nuevo Mexico, right? You touched about New Mexican culture and thinking about how this is unique but important to New Mexico. Gabriela, I don't know if you want to speak a little bit about, you know, in terms of Nuevo Mexico and, you know, some of those outlooks for ethnic studies and Chicano studies?
Definitely. Actually, my undergraduate thesis in American studies is going to be exploring how racial hierarchies were formed alongside the United States, and especially here in the Southwest, and how that works to serve white hegemony and white supremacist power. So I actually worked closely with some professors at UNM with developing that, and I'm going to be working on a publication, the 40th anniversary SWAP is doing a 40th anniversary publication of El Grito del Norte. So I'm going to be contributing my thesis on racial hierarchies to that and trying to tie it in to how we still feel those effects here in our communities and what we can do to dismantle that, especially at a personal level, and hopefully work with some of the ethnic studies teachers in implementing those sort of teachings in the class, in the high school level.
Snaps to that, for sure. Mm-hmm. Veronica, I know that you're not long advocate for Albuquerque High, but more generally for Burke, for Albuquerque.
That's
and
right,
tell us a little.
Mexico, absolutely. And I didn't mean to speak over you. I'm so sorry. I get excited, though, just because, you know what, those of us that know it feel it, especially aquí en Nueva Mexico, we don't speak English or Spanish. We speak Spanglish. And, you know, you can call somebody a bad word that I will not say online because I've been told not to. But it's also a term of endearment, no? Because we do that all the time. For the longest time, I thought my name was Tonta, just because maybe that's what I was called often.
Yeah.
But especially here in New Mexico, and especially with, you know, I can say it in all our schools, no Corky, not just Albuquerque High, but all our schools, that students come to classes because they feel wanted and because they are knowledge. What you said, that first day in class, you were like, whoa, I'm learning something. And so, you know, having that opportunity to be able to give that opportunity, it's also finding the right people to teach this and people that are passionate about it. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to say anybody can teach math. I don't want to say anybody can teach language arts. But teaching about your culture, once again, those who know it feel it, and those who feel it know it. So to say, oh, no, I'm only going to speak about being Spanish, or I'm only going to speak about being Native, or I'm only going to speak about being, you know, straight up Mexicana, whereas here in New Mexico, we're a combination of it all. So let's teach it all, and let's learn about it, and let's celebrate it.
Amen.
Exactly. So I just wanted to add a little bit on to what you said in a funny story about when I was back at Albuquerque High, I would ditch every single one of my classes besides Chicano studies. So I had it for 1 year as a student, and then the second year I had it as Ms. Medina's aide. And I'm not kidding you, I wouldn't show up to class until 20 minutes before that class was about to start, and then right after that class I would leave home. And it's truly because in all of my other classes I was reprimanded for things that were out of my control, like home situations, being tardy, not being able to turn in homework on time, things like that. But in the Chicano Studies class and in the Chicano Studies department, I felt welcomed, like my contributions to class were needed and wanted, and that is what Chicano Studies truly does for the youth, and that's why it's so important.
Claro que sí. Muchas gracias. We're joined by our five guests. Stay tuned. You are listening to your Espejos de Aztlán show. I am your host, Rafael Martinez. We got Froilán Orozco also co-hosting tonight. And we got five guests who are joining us from two high schools, from Albuquerque High and from Highland High School. We have David Valencia, a junior at Highland. We have Luis Vasquez, an alumni from Highland. We also have Gabriela Ortega, alumni from Albuquerque High. We have Veronica Medina, an Albuquerque High teacher. And we have Corky Fausto, a Highland High teacher. And we've been talking about the college preparation program, which is a dual credit courses or classes that students could take at the high school level and come with college credits into college, essentially, when they decide to come to like CNM, UNM, or many of our other higher education institutions. One of the things that we talked right before the break was thinking about this, how this is unique to Nuevo Mexico. And one of the ways that we could think about the uniqueness to Nuevo Mexico that our folks at Highland High School also bring is the artistic side, which, you know, the program very much supports. Corky, I'm wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about how the program supports the arts as well.
At Highland, we've done a mural with the group, and it shows all the cultures at Highland. Highland's is such a unique school with 25, 26 languages on campus, and even though the Chicano population is the majority, the mural that the Mecha students did shows all the cultures that are at Highland. In addition, so David is a really wonderful artist, and when there's opportunities, I'll say, well, you don't have to do this written assignment. Instead, you're going to do an image of what we're doing represents. So David's had that opportunity to express his art there in class. Luis, I know, does music, and it's not quite like that, but it works this kind of the same way.
Claro que sí. David, you were as Corky mentions, you're an artist. So what kind of art do you like to do? And you mentioned Chicano art specifically. How has that evolved in terms of taking the classes and informed your artwork?
It's really like inspired me to just do a lot of artwork, like Chicano artwork, because it helps me express how I feel. And especially with him giving me the chance to do artworks that, like, instead of like writing an essay or anything, it helps, and it helps me improve. And he's also like helped me get into like art shows and sell my art and put my art out there. And it's just been for the better.
And you were mentioning to us that you wanted to do also perhaps in the future tattoos, which is a big scene here in Albuquerque, right? Do you want to tell us a little bit maybe about that?
Yeah, so like I have a lot of family members that have told me like do tattoos, and I've kind of put it off to the side. But like now that I've been doing more Chicano tattoos and I see the style and the culture more, I like really want to do it and just like spread my art out there. And yeah.
Thank you, David. And Luis, what kind of music? I know we have a Chicano artist here in the making, and he's already doing great stuff. What kind of music do you play?
So I currently produce hip-hop instrumentals. And as of now, I'm just kind of experimenting, but I really do want to, like, throw in some, like, Chicano stuff. I don't know, you know, just put it out there. And the industry, you know, the industry right now and for a long time has been predominantly Black and even lately white. But I feel like our culture doesn't really get that much, you know, light shined upon them besides, like, you know, Latin music aside. You know, we need our own little part here, like, spotlight here in the U.S. too, you know. We got culture too, so, you know, it's important to me.
Claro que sí, I agree with you. You know, Latinos were definitely a big part of the start of the hip-hop music in its origins, and I agree with you in terms of bringing in some of those origins and really flourish in its own way to bring hip-hop, into the limelight for Latinos in the U.S., but abroad, and specifically here in Nuevo Mexico, of course, as well. Froy, I think you were going to ask a question next.
Yeah, also thinking about not just the curriculum that's in the classroom, because it is a college-level course that is being offered that does promote getting 3 credits for college and getting you ready. But what kind of other things does the program kind of offer you aside from just the classroom? Do you get to go to visits and kind of see what college is like as well?
I remember Frosto, this 1 year, he let us know. So what happened is that we were just getting the class. We didn't know that you can get the credits. And so I was like, okay, cool, I'm learning this. I like it a lot. And Frosto was talking about how you can get credits and it can transfer to UNM or CNM or, you know, things like that. And I thought that was really awesome. Besides the fact that you get to learn about things that you actually want to learn about, there's like a huge bonus there, and it's really important and awesome. Yeah.
And part of the program is we also, you know, the department, the Chicano Studies Department here at UNM, also, you know, they have campus visits for people. They send professors to the classroom to visit. So there's a lot of mutual support and help from the department here for what we're doing on campus. You know, we meet once a month pretty much, and we talk about curriculum, we share stuff, what kind of activities we're going to do together, and we planned like a workshop one earlier this year. So it's a lot of interaction between the schools and the university.
Which, just to piggyback on what Corky's saying as well, we also take, through career and technical education at CNM, we're also able to take busloads of kids to visit that campus as well. So I think also what needs to be said is without this, a lot of our students wouldn't be coming onto campus at all. And it makes it just a little easier that, hey, if I could do it and I was scared too, because as a little brown kid, you can do it. So that in itself, you know, has us, it's a lot more welcome for us to come across the street, no?
Just the presence of a Chicano Studies department, and especially Chicano Studies professors and teachers at the high school level, makes a world of difference, because anyone who's familiar with the Albuquerque area knows that UNM is just a few miles away from Albuquerque High in Highland, but it's a whole world apart. Working class people especially aren't welcome on campus. A lot of first generation college students have never set foot on campus, don't know how to fill out college applications. And for the most part, feel unwelcome because of their class status or because of their ethnicity. So these ethnic studies classes serve as truly a bridge between our communities and between academia for those who would like to go that route.
Definitely. And, you know, beyond Chicana and Chicano studies, you know, I know that this program also supports and works in collaboration with some of the other, you know, disciplines like Africana Studies, Native American Studies, and Froilan and I were actually covering, as KUNM hosts, we're covering the Ethnic Studies Town Hall this weekend. Froy, can you tell us just a little bit, and then we'll jump into a question for our guests about kind of some of the things that went down at this Ethnic Studies Town Hall this weekend?
Yeah, so there was a huge gathering on the weekend where a bunch of educators, legislators, community members got together and kind of discussed the importance of ethnic studies, specifically here at UNM with the three ethnic studies departments that are on campus, the Native American Studies Department, the Africana Studies Department, and the Chicano Studies Department. And a lot of the aim was to kind of address the needs of and concerns of creating a sustainable program to support the growth and the kinds of positive impacts that these programs are having on the community, with things like retention rates, enrollment rates, all those things are just increasing with the efforts of the programs that they are offering to students. So that's just kind of what happened in that town hall.
Gracias, Froy. And Corky, you were also there. Can you tell us a little bit about the atmosphere and what were some of the vibes that you felt within all these disciplines and folks being in the room?
It was really nice to see all these groups together, and each Africana groups and Native American, and then Chicano Studies. Each department presented on what they're doing and how active they are and what their plans are for the future, and how this college prep program is part of that plan for the future. And so we've been dealing with funding issues as we've been going on. It doesn't have a permanent funding base right now, and so that's kind of ongoing if we want to keep the program growing and expanding to other teachers and other high schools. We're going to need to have something like that to make sure that it happens, or need to contact legislators and let them know that this is a need and it's important for the state.
Just to add on to that as well, I mean, if anybody in any of your audience that's listening now, if you could call our governor, our lieutenant governor, Javi Morales, is very down with the brown. I mean, just to keep it going, you know, for continued funding with any of the Chicana and Chicano studies, any of our ethnic studies, because we need that. We need that funding, because without it, you know, then these students lose out. Because I know that certain fees, certain charges they're okay, once again, here we go with, I'm so sorry, here I go. But, you know, if the state is asking us as high school teachers that our students have a requirement that they have to either get dual credit class, or you have to get an AP honors class, or you have to get an online class, but then we're going to charge you for it? That just that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem right. So please, audience members, if you can call our governor, lieutenant governor, and keep funding going for programs like this. As you can tell just from three students and two teachers, there's a lot more of us that are passionate about it.
And it is an important program. And at Highland, I know for a fact that students that were going to drop out didn't because they were in the class. And they've told me that.
Amen.
And they write that in their evaluation. So it's important to keep the programs going because it's keeping students in school and students graduating.
Claro que sí. And, you know, one of the things that was really impactful being there at the town hall was to see the generational connection, you know, between some of the folks who've been there since the movimiento and folks who are still going on today. And I know from both of you as teachers that you guys are, you know, rouse the students to activism and to cause of actions. So I'm wondering if David and Luis, you all could talk about, you know, maybe some of the activism and the call to action that you saw within your Chicano Studies programs to see how that's changed. David, do you want to go first?
So there's another program here at UNM, United We Dream and the Dreamers, and with them I was able to go to Austin, I think it was Austin, Texas, or Houston, Texas. We were there to protest DACA and immigrant rights, and it was really empowering to see everybody there and all the states come together and just like protesting that. And I can't think right now.
No worries. Thank you. Luis?
All right. So just to put into perspective, I wasn't really the type to like any activism. I was just kind of like, man, why are you fighting? It's not going to do anything. And when you learn about the history and you learn that it's still going on, you get kind of angry. But when you actually go like do a march or a protest on the side of the street and you just see all these people uniting, trying to, you know, put the word out there, a statement, it feels really good. And a lot of the times you just see the impact. Because last year I was in Mecha with Frosto, and any opportunity I could get, I would do any of the activism that he would take part in. And I remember specifically when we were out in the streets, there were always cars that were either cheering us on, or sometimes there were cars that were angry. And it's just kind of a sign like, you know, it's doing something.
Gabriela, we have a few seconds. Do you want to kind of share a little bit about your experience too?
Of course. So actually, me and Ms. Medina had appeared on KUNM, I want to say 4 years ago. We were speaking out against the ban on ethnic studies that was happening in Arizona. And as you can see, for as long as these classes have been going on, there's been attacks on them by right-wing politicians and efforts to silence people of color. But as you can see, we're all still here, and these programs have persisted because of community activists and every single person who believes in the value of ethnic studies and is willing to fight for it.
Claro que sí. Pues, I want to give our guest tonight thanks. Thank you, David Valencia, for being here. Luis Vasquez, Gabriela Ortega, Veronica Medina, and Corky Fasto. Muchas gracias, all. This has been your Espejos de Aztlán show.
Thank you for having us.